Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 68th edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During the show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. Today, my guest is Dama Rugaba. Dama is Rwandan, and he spent his childhood with his family living in the Eastern Congo before living and working as a pilot in Rwanda as a young man. He arrived in the United States 15 years ago and found his way through the social, educational, and employment systems here. And on the way, he learned a whole lot. And now he shares freely his learnings with his community as the president of the Rwandan Community Association of Maine. Dama works at Unum by day, using his skills he developed at Southern New Hampshire University in his master's degree program there, and he uses all his life experiences to help other New Mainers the rest of the time. Welcome back to New Mainers Speak, Dama.
I'm really happy to be back today.
Dama joined us last year, right around this time, for episode number 25. If you're interested in hearing more about his life story and early childhood today, however, since we did some of that in our last interview, I thought we might start by talking about work life in Rwanda, Central Africa, noting that your country's motto is unity, work, patriotism. Do you embrace this motto of your country?
Yes, I do, and for so many reasons. Unity, as you all know, my country, in the last 20 years ago, went through horrible things through the 1994 genocide. And that was a result of conflicts that were created through divisions. And because people wanted to stay on power and they didn't work hard, but we believe that if everyone is given a chance to work hard, and if we all see the work as something that can heal our country, then I think that's the right way, unity and work and patriotism. Because if you love your country, you should love your countrymen. And there you wouldn't have any conflicts or any more killings happening in Rwanda.
And then your work would support the unity of the whole.
That's true.
Nice. I can understand that better. Thank you. Work is a really important thing because it's so much more than one's livelihood alone. You told me a story the other day about your father's work when the money in Eastern Congo, where you were living, had become devalued to the point of worthlessness. Could you tell us again that story? I loved it.
Where I grew up in my early years of childhood, through elementary school, my father was a principal of an elementary school. And then, really through the 80s, 84, not 84, before 84, between say, 81, 82, things, the money was very, the devaluation was very high, and to the point where his monthly salary couldn't even buy him a beer. So I approached him once and I was like, you have a farm, why don't you focus on your farm and just don't, because you're not paid. Why do you waste your time there? And he said, do you think I'm wasting my time? Who's going to take care of these kids if I don't teach them? But really, the sense of where I grew up in a village, a principal was social worker, was the judge, because, and I remember him calling on parents and telling them, you want your kids to go to school, you got to volunteer your time and help teachers. So it was kind of finding a solution where a solution was not. So most principals in those years, they took the responsibility for those kids and their teachers when the government could afford to pay them.
And in so doing, a whole generation of children were educated by the kindness of their community.
Yes, and I can, this past April, I was in Rwanda, and I got in touch with some of my former classmates, and we decided, we said, you know, we haven't seen each other for a long time, but there's a person we need to visit. We had a principal in high school, here it's called middle school, but it was in 7th and 8th grade, and we're in this boarding school, and this principal was like a father to us. So you make a mistake, and they'll fire you from the boarding school, and then you go sleep in his house. That's how he was. So a bunch of 30 of us went to his house. We surprised him. Went there, just say, thank you. You made us who we are. And there are many people like him who made young folks in our country back then who they are today.
Such a respect for your education. It's beautiful. So work gives us purpose and meaning in a way more than raising money to support ourselves and our families. And can you tell us, as the president of the Rwandan Community Association of Maine, what Rwandan-born New Mainers are looking for in work here in the United States, and what they have to contribute to employment?
The Rwandan folks here in Maine, like all other immigrants, they came here to restart their lives. Most of them came with the professions that they had back home. But when they arrived here, they realized maybe they cannot transfer in those professions. So when you come here, really, it's kind of you learn, oh, I can't do this. So what else can I do? But what I can say is all of them are eager to start working in any profession they can get, in any profession they can transfer in, or in any capacity. Because at least here they know they can blame nobody for their failures. They have all the opportunities here. They can blame the government. They can blame the system. They can only blame themselves if they don't work and be productive. And all they need is a chance to be part of the working force here in Maine.
And there are many resources available to them. Having gone through the system yourself, can you say something about some of the resources you use to help find work, or others that have come along in the meantime?
For me, it was kind of trying to juggle through them by myself. My first job here was at Barber Food. And the reason I went to Barber Food, because there were other immigrants before me who worked there, and they're like, you can get a job there. By 8 months being there, I said, I need to look for a job where I can use my brain. So I was a little bit educated. I knew I could speak and write English. So I spoke to people, and they told me, you can go through a temp agency. So I went through Manpower. Manpower sent me to USM here, where I worked at bookstore for a 3 month assignment. And then, because I was so much in need of working in an intellectual environment, I worked so much, and I was trying to learn so much in a very short time. And by the end of my assignment, my supervisor here gave me a good recommendation back to Manpower. And my assignment ended on Friday. And Manpower called me, do you want to start a UNAM on Monday? I was like, sure. So that's how I ended up at UNAM.
So Manpower got you to UNAM.
Yes, Manpower got me at UNAM.
Interesting.
But right now, it's like the same thing people learn from fellow immigrants. You can get a job here, you can get a job here. But really, it's a job just to get you started. But how can we help them to find what they want to do?
Where more of a career?
Yeah, more of a career, more of their profession. If they can do the profession they did back home, how can they transfer their skills? There are resources available here that were not there back in the days. We have the New Mainers Resource Center. They're trying to identify people's skills and discuss with them. If you can do this, what else can you do? I try to match them with employers.
And that is at the Portland Adult Ed building, isn't it?
Yes, that's at Portland Adult Education. Then there's the Jobs Alliance, the Portland Jobs Alliance. This is a program that was funded by the City of Portland. It's run through Coastal Enterprise, Inc. It's a community development nonprofit down on Commercial Street. This program is funded to talk with employers. What skills do you want? How many people do you want? we can offer you the training, we can pay for their internship, and then you guys can hire them. So they're working with employers, they're working with New Manners Resource Center, they're working in Portland Adult Ed to see how they can make this happen. But the challenge that's there is the outreach. People who know about this program, probably most of them go through Adult Ed. But there are those who are already in the workforce who don't go to Adult Ed. Maybe who are just working because that's the job they found. How can we reach out to those and tell them there's this program they can benefit from, that you can benefit from, that can take you into the career that you want to pursue?
Have you thought of any ideas? How do you do that outreach?
You know, last time when I was here, we discussed about the New Manners Integration Center. And we have different organizations here that are doing a great job. But at the same time, as I said, they don't talk to each other. So for me, I think if that center becomes a reality, people will know where to go. And they will go there and they'll be directed where they need to go.
A hub for immigrants to get started and find out all their choices.
Right.
Kind of a roadmap.
Right. Yeah. And the other thing, the integration center for me, I think, has to be a collaboration of all these organizations, including immigrant community organizations. Because immigrants can reach out to their communities. And immigrants need really not only the resources, but they also need the capacity building to help them reach out, mobilize, encourage people to use the resources available. So I would think that if we could start with a study and look at what immigrant community members or associations can provide to expedite this, how can they work with Portland Jobs Alliance? How can they work with a New Manners Resource Center? How can they work with Portland Adult Ed? How can they work with Catholic Charities? How can they work with the city of Portland, city of Westbrook, to kind of, and so that we can see everyone's responsibility. Each of us can take just a little bit of responsibility. And in collaboration, I think we can achieve this in a more speedy way and not leave someone behind.
I love the idea of collaboration, and I'm also very impressed with the organization that the individual communities have fostered in their own communities. I know Coco Maine is well organized, and you were telling me something about how you've gone about trying to determine the number of Burundians here in Maine. And would you tell our listeners this process you're going through?
Yeah, the other big challenge we have, which is shared by all the organizations, we don't have meaningful data. By meaningful data, I mean a recent study by the Boston Reserve Bank said 50% of immigrants, you know, who came here from 2010 to now have a bachelor's degree. Who are those people? Where are they? Are they working? Are they not working? Are they working in their capacity? Are they underutilized? What do they need to work to? What do they need to work in their profession or their transferable skills profession? So that's the kind of data we need. So
we don't have it, right? It's nowhere. Nobody knows how many immigrants are in the state. There are some census guesses from last time, but we really never know who's here.
Right. Nobody knows. And this has been a discussion. It's not the first time we're talking about it. It was talked about in the World Affairs Council series. So it's an ongoing issue. So in my organization, we decided, okay, let's start by individuals. Like myself, them, how many people do you know? Do you know their education? So we started this spreadsheet. Write names, telephone numbers, their level of education. Do they have a family? How many people in the family? Then once I put down all the list that I know, I send it to another member. Then he fills in whatever it's missing or whoever he knows, and then we're kind of doing a circle. So until the last person, then we'll have at least not a full list, but at least we'll have 70% of our members here in Maine.
I think that's very impressive. And are you finding that you have more people here than you realized?
Yes. So far we've reached about more than 500 people. And it's not over yet. So I'm thinking maybe in the next 3 or 4 months, the list will go around to all the people. Because what we do, we ask the last person, do you know anybody else who hasn't worked on this list? Then they'll transfer the list to the other person.
I love this idea. It's brilliant. And that way, when someone says, do you know anybody that would be good for another job at Unum or somewhere else, you say, oh, let me check my list. You have a great resource that you've established.
Right.
You're listening to WMPG, Southern Maine Community Radio, broadcasting from USM. I'm Kate Manahan, and this is New Mainers Speak. If you're just joining us, welcome. My guest today is Dama Rugaba, who is the president of the Rwandan Community Association of Maine. He's been speaking about the need to pair employers in the area with qualified members of the immigrant community. And this was the topic of conversation that was covered in some depth at a recent series of community conversations hosted by the World Affairs Council of Maine in partnership with MIRC, which is Maine Immigrants' Rights Coalition. Dama is here today to talk about some of the findings of those 5 community conversations hosted over 6 months, published in a report that can be found by going to www.wacmaine.org. Last week, we highlighted the 7 key findings from that venture with Claudette Ninindahazi, underscored the need for access to English proficiency and support for English language learners. This week, we're looking at the 3 different goals that explicitly named the improvements regarding how immigrants could better fit into the workforce in Maine. And I'm going to quote from that booklet here so you can know what some of the findings were. These are in no particular order. First of all, to promote and facilitate the integration of skilled immigrants into the labor market, to tap the resources now to use New Mainers' existing skills and talents. Next, to encourage and sustain startups for immigrant small business entrepreneurs, enhance immigrants' business expertise through business counseling and micro-business enterprise training. And the last one is to create partnerships with the business and entrepreneurial communities, educational institutions, and the creative economy, and invest in prosperity by investing in immigrants. So, Dama, you were involved with these conversations yourself. What were some of the ideas that you heard during this series of community conversations that could be the most helpful, in your opinion?
For me, the most helpful is that we started the conversation. These conversations involved community leaders, involved business people, involved small business owners, and all share their experiences. And I think that's the great beginning. But how do we move from sharing the experiences to making it happen? As we discussed last time, I think on individual levels or community levels, we all can do our part. A few months ago, I work at Unum. It's a great company. I've been there for almost 14 years. And I went and talked to our VP of talent acquisition, and I was like, I want to know if Unum is doing something to recruit immigrants. And she said, we are very interested, but we don't know how. Which is the problem that we said, if we had a center where they could say, we're going there. So I called a friend of mine, Tae Chong, who is a business counselor with StatSmart. And we've been working together with communities for a very long time before even I became president. So he said, I know. So he organized a meeting between Portland Jobs Alliance, Adult Aid, and the main resource. I think Portland Aid and Portland Jobs Alliance. So the meeting reflected on they're telling you, this is the group of immigrants we have here in Maine. What jobs can you offer to them? What skills do you want? We can partner to prepare them to fill those skills. So if individuals, not only community leaders, you work in a place and you realize nothing's being done to recruit immigrants, talk to them. Connect them with Portland Jobs Alliance. Contact them with New Maine as Resource Center. And then on our side as community leaders, we need to find out who are those people in our communities who have professions that can be transferred into different skills here. But we shouldn't also forget about those who don't have professions, because they also want to be employed. So we have to sit together and find a way. The Jobs Alliance and the Portland Jobs Alliance and New Maine as Resource Center kind of focus on those educated ones. But we need also to find a forum for those who don't have those skills or who are not highly educated.
This sounds like a huge job.
It is a huge job, but as I said, there's so many organizations that work with immigrants here. I think people, if they sit at the same table, they can find a solution. It's not a solution that will come tomorrow, but at least we have to start the process.
It reminds me of a bit of a jigsaw puzzle. If you're all sitting around and everybody puts their few pieces together, you start to get a picture for what's needed.
But really, it's not, I don't think, okay, there's a challenge maybe for the professional ones, but in other jobs, I'll give you an example. This is a manager of Ramada Hotels in Boston, in Saco, Maine. I met him through a friend, and he said he hires many people during the summer time. So he called me a couple of times. Yeah, I need two guys. I sent him two guys. He called me the second time. Well, I need three guys. I couldn't find them because I don't have a database. If I had a database, I'll give them a call. Hey, there's a job lineup in Saco. But if you can at least start by collecting those names and know who's working, who's not working, who's seeking for an employment, who's not, I think there are people who are willing to hire. We need to reach out to those too. And I think maybe easier than we think. It's just that we haven't started yet.
That's a really good, clear first step that could make a huge difference.
Yes.
So collect the data and have a hub where you can both collect it and share it.
Right.
Great. What do you wish every employer knew about the immigrant community?
What all employers should know about the immigrant community is these are resilient people. For them to make it up to Maine, they have gone through too much. And this is the second chance for them. And they are not ready to waste any time to prove that they can live here and they can contribute to the Maine society. And they don't get discouraged. They may be limited with English. And if someone is not outspoken in English, it doesn't mean he's not good at what he does. So that's also another perception that people have. When you can express yourself in English, they kind of wonder, like, can he do this? Can he do this? So just give them a chance and you'll be surprised.
We're a society that kind of puts ourselves out there a lot. And many immigrants come from much more humble communities where it is not good to boast about your strengths and your skills. And so you had mentioned the other day that it might be important for employers to understand if they come in, they may not be telling you all of what they can do.
And this is the conversation we had in the meeting with UNAM, Portland Jobs Alliance, and Adult Health. So most immigrants, selling themselves is not part of their culture. It's actually not acceptable. So they cannot just switch the button and say, oh, I'm in America, now I have to sell myself. It's really, there has to be another way of trying to find out if they are capable of doing the task that they're supposed to do. By selling themselves, I don't think that can work with most
important
immigrants.
You know, if I know that someone is quite modest from their culture, I will maybe look at their paperwork more about their resume or ask more clarifying questions to understand their skills rather than assume that they don't have them.
Or maybe give them a written test, or maybe give them internship for a month or so to see if the... And I think they can prove that they are capable through all those internship exam, written exam, than expressing themselves verbally.
Yeah, I think that's great. And you had mentioned how powerful it was to start at Berber Foods because there were other immigrants there. And I would say that employers might know that hiring several immigrants, not even from the same country, might be helpful for their assimilation.
Yes, if you had them in the bulk, at least they'll have that supporting. They'll know, okay, we're all new here. They'll support each other compared to just one falling into the system where everybody's up to speed, and for them they're like, okay, am I going to make it here? Am I going to last? But if they have two or three or four more that are going through the same thing, they can share, okay, I'm struggling this too, I'm struggling this too, and they'll feel comfortable that, hey, we're all struggling, so, and they can support each other.
All people like to have some peers. It's universal.
Yes.
Tama, this is a huge topic to tackle in half an hour. You've done a super job of summarizing it for us. You're a wonderful spokesperson for your community and a very generous person. Thank you so much for coming back onto New Mainer Speak today.
Thank you so much for having me. And the other big piece that I'm looking at for jobs and for us to settle in Maine is I focus on kids. And I make trips every summer to show them universities, have them ask questions, go through admission sessions. Because I'm looking at, if you look at Portland schools, they have 42% of Portland schools are foreign-born, or a minority, rather. So if we don't start investing in these kids, who are going to replace the workforce of tomorrow? I think for me, I'm looking at the current immigrants, but also to the first generation of this second generation. What can they become once they grow up?
This is so important because in a state like Maine, that is one of two with a dwindling population, we really do need to be thinking about the children coming along, and you make a great point there.
Thank you, Kate.
And thank you for listening. Please join us each Sunday from noon to 12:30 for similar interviews with diverse members of our community. If you'd like to hear this complete interview or interviews from previous weeks, please visit newmainerspeak.com. For regular listeners who heard Fiston Seba sing in the studio a few weeks ago, his CD release event is coming up this Saturday, August 15th, from 5:30 to 8 at The Rock Church, 66 Gorham Road in Scarborough. For more information, visit Fiston Seba on Facebook. Please stay tuned for Cruz del Sur with Victoria up next, right here on WMPG. I'm Kate Manahan in the studio with my guest, Dama Rugaba. We will close today's program with a song he's chosen for us from Rwanda. Dama, will you introduce your song to our listeners quickly?
The song is by a Rwandan artist. His name is Daniel Ngaruye, and the name's song is Inhuza. This is a song that he used a traditional popular music instrument called Inanga.
Thank you.
It was good being here, Kate.
Thank you.
Thank you.